Daniel, Miss Becca, appreciate that. Well, we're going to dismiss the children, the sixth grade and down, and you're going to go with the Morris family and have a wonderful time, and please feel free to follow them right out back, and their host family will go with them, and some other folks will help them be there as well, and they'll head over to the Family Life Center and get to spend a wonderful time with some of our missionary families, again, with the Morris as well. It's a joy to have tonight Brother Godfrey. He's the Vice President of BIMI, Baptist International Missions Incorporated, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and it is just a thrill to get to be around him. He has done many things in the Lord's work. He and his wife are here with us tonight, and he's in great demand across the nation in churches and in Bible colleges, and just on the subject all about missions. And he's a real blessing, and I think that he's going to be a wonderful favorite of ours here. He'll be with us tonight, and then he'll preach for us all day Sunday as well. And I'm so blessed to get to have him here, and I think that you're going to enjoy hearing him gladly tonight. So, Brother Godfrey, thank you for coming our way to Gray, Tennessee. God bless you, and come preach to us.
Yes, sir. And it's hard to do that and not shake hands while we pass. Linda and I went to a memorial service recently for one of our missionaries who had served many years, and God took him to heaven. And we were down there in a big church building on a Saturday, and they had every other row marked off like yours. But it was semicircle pews, and so they had two seats on the end and a pool noodle, 6 feet. And two sat in the middle, and then another pool noodle, and then two more places. So we were sitting there waiting for the funeral to start, and a younger family came in, a little girl, you know, just 3 or 4 years old. And she took one look at that pool noodle and picked it up and started beating the people. So I don't want to give you all any bad ideas, but it's good to be with you. Look, there's nothing in the world like being saved and knowing it. And there's nothing, I don't know if you can get any better than that, but it's close. And that's knowing that you're doing what God wants you to do. Don't ever fear, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. In fact, I would like for you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 18. Just find Acts 18. I'll get back there in just a moment. But I do want to introduce my wife, Linda. She and I have finished, back in July, we finished 51 years together. Now, we were just kids when we got married. Have five children. We reared them in Africa. We have 18 grandchildren. We know how to do it. We have 9 grandsons and 9 granddaughters. I mean, that's just, can't beat that, and a great grandson. And our kids are serving the Lord. And it's just a joy to know Christ. And we gave actually before we got married, we both were saying, Lord, you just tell us, show us what you want us to do, and we'll do our best to do it. But because we are old, I want you to understand, you know you've been a missionary a long time when you can't answer the question, where are you from? And in our case, that really is hard. But you know you've been a missionary for a long time when you're looking at a National Geographic magazine and you recognize somebody. You know you've been a missionary for a long time when you're sitting at home watching one of these programs on the Discovery Channel or something, and you're sitting there watching those animals thinking how good that animal would taste fried. And I tell the missionaries, Linda, she looks quiet and innocent. Don't believe that for a moment. She's the troublemaker of the pair. She's lived with me 16 years in a Muslim country. We rode camels. Where we grew up, they smoked them. But where we lived, they rode them. And then after many years there, we ended up living out in the middle of the jungle in the Congo. Ladies, think about this. Hundreds of miles to electricity. 2 kilometers, that's a mile and 2/10, from our house up on top of this mountain in the jungle, 2 kilometers down the mountain to water, to wash your clothes or take a bath. And our church was a little different there. All the mamas, all the ladies sat on this side and all the papas sat on this side. And if a grasshopper got in there, it didn't get out. And we ate grub worms big as your finger, jungle rat, monkey. I got all these stories. I'm not going to tell you tonight, though. I got all these stories. But you really know you've been a missionary a long time when you marvel at the cleanliness of gas station restrooms. Now, wait a minute. Y'all don't know me. Okay, I know that. How many of you understand that Christians really are the most joy-filled people in the world? And it's all right to smile. Now, I'm going to get serious here in a moment, but I like to see you smile, and it's our pleasure to be here with you. And I fought my battle with COVID a few weeks ago. I'm on the good side of it. I got lots of antibodies, I guess. I don't know what I got, but I had it big time, but I'm over it, and thank God for that I'm on the other side of it. But I want to talk tonight. A very serious question tonight. I want to talk about this. Can we serve God without being dominated by fear? Now, notice my question. I didn't say without ever being afraid, because I know the answer to that. How many of y'all at some point in your life? Yeah, I know. We have too, and we struggle with things. So there's some fear, but to live the Christian life, we should never be dominated by that fear. Yet, I preached for years. We grew up in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains down in South Carolina in Spartanburg, Greenville area, and we didn't want to travel anywhere. We thought our long trip was up the mountain to Asheville. I mean, we were just country bumpkins. We didn't want to go anywhere, but we told God, anywhere you want us to go, we'll go. And we moved over in 1970 to attend Tennessee Temple back in the good old days, and ran a bus route and got involved. But God called us from the very first days to go to Africa. So all through Bible college, we were headed to Africa. Went to France for language. Donc, je peux parler français si je veux, mais qui ici peut comprendre mon français? I could preach in French if I wanted to. Ain't anybody here that could even understand I speak French with a southern accent, though. But anyway, we spent a year and a half in France studying French, because lots of Africa is French-speaking. And we moved to our country, and not one neighbor we had spoke French. You had to know it, but the road signs were it. But we had, from the first day, started another language. I could preach in Wolof, wouldn't help y'all a bit, and several other languages. But I'm just telling you that. I preach a lot of places, and I'm around a lot of young people. That's why I'm old, but I don't feel old. How many of y'all are that way? I don't feel old. I mean, I got lots of energy, and I hang out with a lot of young people and teach a lot of college classes. But so many times, here's what young people tell me, and sometimes older people. Brother Godfrey, I'm afraid to surrender to God, because if I surrender, he will send me to Africa. Now, I don't know what your fear is. There's a little fear anytime a family says, Lord, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Because it's unknown. You can't communicate well. It's all different. And there's some fear involved, but it doesn't dominate your life. But so many people tell me, I'm afraid to surrender, because if I surrender, God will send me to some place I don't want to go. Now, think with me just a moment. How many of us believe that God is just out to get us and make us miserable? I mean, I don't think we really believe that, do we? Let me tell you where God will send you if you surrender. He will send you to the place that he's been getting you ready for all your life. And it might not be the place you've thought about. It may be sometimes he will move on your heart and put a burden there. And it's not just going to the Dominican Republic or to India or something. It may be doing something here in your ministry. And then, well, Brother God, you don't understand. This is missions conference, and they're talking about going to the mission field, and they're talking about praying for missionaries, and they're talking about giving, and I just don't know. Do you understand? This is COVID world. And I just don't think I can step out in faith and I can give like I have been giving, or I don't think I can give more because, and I'm just saying there's so often an element of fear. And I want to show you tonight what God did in the life of Paul in this chapter. Before I did that, let me tell you a little story. I'm a Marine. How many of y'all knew that already by looking at me? All right, y'all. I'm not as mean, not as lean, still a Marine. All right. I got a buddy. He's one of our missionaries. He's a missionary in Spain now. He was a officer in the Marine Corps, not so long ago before he got out, and he was stationed out in Afghanistan, in Iraq, actually, and he was in charge of a team of officers. Their responsibility was to go out and check the different outposts and make sure they were okay. So they had just put a brand new Army major with his team, so it was a multi-force. There was Army, Air Force, Navy, Marines, all of it. So they had gone out one day, and they were standing beside this block building in Iraq, and all of a sudden, as they stood there, a bullet hit the blocks right beside them. Well, they just kind of moved over step two. Standing there again, another bullet struck beside them, and they moved a little further, and finally they ended up all the way around the other side of the house, thanking God that Iraqi snipers weren't too accurate. Well, that evening, they were back in Baghdad, and they were filling out the reports. That's what you do in the military. They were filling out reports, and everyone had drifted away except my friend, Captain Michael Helton, and this Army major. And the major said to Captain Helton, "Cap, can I ask you a question? We were standing out there today, and those bullets were just hitting all around us. Were you ever afraid?" And Brother Helton said, "Sir, I'm a Marine, but I would lie if I said I'm never afraid. But what I wanted to tell you is, not really, because if one of those bullets hits me, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, just like that, I'd be in the presence of my Savior." And that major said, are you serious? Brother Helton said, "I've never been more serious about anything in my life." And there in the office in Baghdad a few years ago, an Army major fell on his knees and cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ to save his soul. So I want to talk about, can we serve the Lord without being dominated by fear? Acts 18 and verse 1, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth." Now you all, there's no better book in all the world to study missions than the book of Acts. I mean, you want to see it in action. Church planting, discipleship, all of it, you see it there. This has nothing to do with my message, but in the last few days, I've had two different people want me to send them my lessons I've developed over years, because they're starting a new little Bible school. And they don't understand, when you teach at a college, when you develop courses, that belongs to that college, okay? And on top of that, if I've spent hundreds of hours working on a course, do I want to send that to somebody I don't know? So I'm just saying, you want to know mission, study the book of Acts. Don't send me, and that won't my course, okay? I don't know how much that would help you. But Paul now was leaving a great city of Athens, and he's moving to a new part of the world following God's leadership. You do understand, do you not, that God sometime will push you out of your comfortable nest. I don't want to do that. Your pastor doesn't want to do that, but sometimes God has a way of stirring up and saying, "Hey, you need to be running that bus route. You need to be teaching that class," or whatever it is. Well, here's Paul leaving Athens, going to this different city. And if you read the chapters before this, you'll find that everywhere Paul went, he stirred up trouble for himself. I mean, I just read in one of my, Lynn and I read, we carry a bag of Bibles. Because we read every day, and I read Japanese, Spanish, French, Wolof, Kikongo, so we have a good time of it. And I just read it in one of those languages, I think in Wolof, doesn't matter. But every place Paul went, I mean, he was beaten multiple times, 39 stripes. I mean, that's enough to really often kill people. He was stoned. The Bible says that everywhere these Christians went, the chapter before this says, they turned their world upside down. Well, now, here he goes into Corinth, and then they get to Corinth. Let me just skip down to verse number 8. "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many other Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." Now, I just want to park there just a second. Hey, that's God's order right there. They heard the word of God, they got saved, then they were baptized. But here's my message tonight, verses 9, 10, 11. "Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night." Aren't you glad God speaks? You know how he speaks mostly to us? This holy book he's given to us. How many of you like me? I think all of you are. I believe from the first word in Genesis to the last word in Revelation, this is God's inspired, wonderful, powerful word. And God now is speaking to Paul in the night by a vision. And here's what he said to Paul. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Paul, you're going to be in this heathen city. They don't know me here. They have every kind of idol. There's every kind of immorality and sin you can imagine in this city. Paul, don't be afraid. I want you to speak up and hold not thy peace. But don't you love God that not only did God tell him what to do, and boy, this next verse, don't you like simple? I mean, you're not going to hear me preach any convoluted, complex. I heard a sermon down in Greenville, South Carolina some years ago on the difference between dynamic and dualistic monarchianism. I mean, I have no idea what that guy said, and I don't think he knew what he said either. So you'll find my sermons are just simple and I hope practical and helpful, because God told Paul, Paul, don't be afraid. I put you here. It's a rough place. They need to know me. I put you here. But here's why you can stay in this place and not be dominated by fear. Let me just add, here's why you can give your missions giving this year and not worry about COVID and all that stuff. Here's why you can say, God, you want me to go to some country? Why? I don't love it. Look at verse 10. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God unto them. Now the Bible said in chapter 17, those that had turned the world upside down have come here also. But how many of you found that when you surrender to the Lord, he kind of turns your world upside down too? And there are a lot of us doing things today that we never dreamed. We went to Africa. If you'd asked us, 20 years we were there. We speak French and two African languages, and we eat with our hands. We point with our tongues. They don't point with a finger. That's the way they do it, preacher. I mean, we're weird. I know we're weird, but we thought we went there, and we thought this is where we'll live and die. And we got down into Congo, and as soon as we got there, fighting started. The first 6 months we were there, nobody knew we were dead or alive. 6 months. We got no sport. Didn't get a penny. We didn't get a letter. We had two grown kids in America, one married, one in college, and they didn't know we were alive or not for 6 months. So how'd you live? You know, people ask me that, and I want to say, have y'all ever heard of God? I mean, do you think you have to have support coming in? It's nice to have. So how'd you live? Those African Christians would walk for miles and bring us a pineapple, handful of eggs. Linda had to learn how to float eggs. Does any lady here old enough know why you float eggs? When you go out and pick them up off the ground, if they're bad, the bad ones float, okay? And you don't want to break a bad one into the bad of good ones. So God has a way of stirring your nest. And we were there. We got caught up in fighting. 9 months into that, I went into the capital city. It took me 5 days. Left Linda and our three younger kids up there in the jungle. And I got there and fighting started again, and the Christians wouldn't let me leave. And for 5 weeks, she and those three kids were 500 kilometers from me, and I couldn't get back up there. Now, I'm going to be honest, that was the longest 5 weeks I ever spent in my life. And God used all that fighting, and eventually we were evacuated out and came back, and we've been a few miles since then and a lot of different things. But it wasn't that we were looking to change. But sometimes God does have something he wants you to do and a burden he puts on your heart. And we missionaries, I said to you, we're weird. When they first start out, these missionaries starting out on deputation, their concern is how are we going to eat? But they don't have to worry too much about it. How many of y'all ate one of those big baked potatoes tonight loaded down and got a basket full of goodies? You see, but we wonder, how can I just quit my job and go out and trust? That's how you do it. You trust God. Because what he said to Paul applies to us. And then when they get to the field, it's not how we're going to eat, it's what we're going to eat. I'll just leave that right there. How can I leave my mom and daddy? Yesterday and today, I was at BIMI involved in our screening process. We have some pastors come in and other people and a lady or two. And we have these little committees and we have these brand new green dumb missionaries coming in. And I say dumb, they just don't. They're not lacking intelligence. They don't know what they're getting into. And often, just about every time we ask them, what about your mom and dad and both of them, the husband and wife, how do they feel about you going to Uganda or China or DR? Can I do that? What if God called me? Could I leave my mom and daddy? Could I leave my church I've been involved in? Now, this scares preacher when I preach this way, pastor, when I preach this way. I'm not trying to talk you into anything. And you're thinking about, well, if I were to go out there, how could I speak that language? Did you know the babies in Africa speak African languages? So if the babies do it, y'all could too. Now, it is fun, I will admit that. In French, the word faith is foi. It's la foi is the faith, but la foi is the liver. So my dear missionary friend, years ago, we went to a French butcher shop, and he was serious, and he was trying to buy a chicken with a liver and all that left in the chicken, and he said, je voudrais acheter un poulet avec de la foi. I want to buy a chicken with faith. But can God, now this is missions conference and I'm having fun, but this is serious fun I'm having. Can God protect these young couples? He's called them. They're going out into the unknown. They're going to get down there and they're going to get so frustrated. Now, you all think when the missionary gets off the plane or train or whatever, everybody's there. Thank God a missionary has come to tell me about Jesus. Most of them are not doing that. They're spitting on you. Depends on where you're going. Some places are different. But it's not what some of you think it is. There is no easy mission field in all the world, including Great Tennessee. Can God protect them? Can God watch over their children? Can God keep them in good health? Our first term on the field, I had to go to an African dentist. There are a lot of things they don't teach you in Bible college, Pastor. I had a root canal done on this bottom molar right here with no medicine. It hurts me now to even think about it. Can we serve God? When we think about all these difficult, by the way, we people, we tend to think that way. We tend to think more about the difficulties than we do the blessings and the results of it. Just think about it. They're going to go out to DR and they're going to lead people to Christ. And they're going to see churches built. And they're going to see some of those people then called. We have a fine couple working on the northern side of DR that he was a baseball player and did everything he can to get out of the DR, but he got saved down there. He actually came to America to play ball, but he got saved. And now he and his wife are back on the field in DR, missionaries. Study through the book of Acts and you see that everywhere the Christians went, the devil fought them. Witch doctors, demonism, discouragement. And so there's this tendency sometimes for us to, I'm afraid to do that. I'm not quite sure that I can step out in faith. I mean, these guys can do it. They're young, healthy, but I don't know if I have that kind of faith. Remember this, it's not how much faith you have, it's where you're putting your faith. Hey, have we gotten it? It's all in Jesus. We can trust him. If we can trust him for salvation, why can't we trust him with everything else? But let me give you my sermon. Don't worry. Let me give you my simple sermon. You know, God gave the outline. I mean, it's verse number 10. Can we serve the Lord without being dominated by fear? And I say to you, 10,000 times over, you can. And here's why you can do it. Because God said, wherever I put you, I am with you. Did you know that even in the Great Commission, Jesus told us we could do it? Why? Because I am with you always. Doesn't matter where you're at. My wife doesn't like snakes. But when God's with you, He can take care of you. Exodus chapter 3, you don't need to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, and you know, that Exodus 3 is where God's dealing with Moses, and he came to the burning bush, and God's calling his name. And then Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go?" Any of you preachers other than me have ever felt, "Why in the world, God, did you call me?" I mean, they were big, good-looking, sharp. When I was a little kid coming up in church, I was the runt. I mean, I was this little guy from a broken home, and nobody would have looked at me and said, "There, somebody God could use." And Moses said, "Lord, are you sure about this? Who am I that I should go?" Let me give you God's answer. This is great. And God said, that is to Moses, "Certainly, I will go with thee." Moses, "I'm not going to send you to Egypt by yourself. If you go by yourself, Pharaoh will chop your head off. But you go with me, and they cannot harm you." The book of Isaiah says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned." One of my favorite verses, how many of you got a lot of favorite verses in the Bible? But I love Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. God said, "I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." It doesn't matter where you're at, in the furnace, going through COVID, whatever, all the pressures and the discouragement and the fears of this life, folks, just relax. God says, "You can do it because I'm with you." But he didn't just stop there. He said, "For I'm with thee," and I love this next phrase, "and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee." You see, when you're serving God, when you surrender to Him, not only do you have His presence with you, but you have more His presence. You have His protection. "No man shall set on thee to hurt thee." And then Hebrews 13:6 says, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now I mentioned Linda doesn't like snakes. Where we live down there, we ate them. Well, when you get hungry, you'd be surprised what's good. We hadn't been there but a few nights in the jungle, and we lived in a house that missionaries had built back in the 30s or 40s. Mud block, just mud, no cement, on the side of a mountain. The back walls leaning down the hill, breaking loose from the rest of the house. And it's just rough beams and tin nailed to it on the top. So in the bedroom, there was a crack in the corner of the bedroom wall. And it started about a couple inches. It just got bigger as it went up. So I stuffed it full of plastic. And we had this little wooden bed frame and a little piece of foam mattress. And then you put nail poles to the end of your bed, and you drape your mosquito net over it and tuck it under your mattress. If not, mosquitoes eat you alive. So we'd gone to bed, and there's no electricity, so you don't have any fans and none of those noises. So we'd gone to bed, hadn't been in there long. We heard a noise. And it was something coming through the plastic on her side of the bed. So I got up and I got my flashlight and my machete, and I went around on her side. She said, "Honey, what is it?" I said, you really don't want to know." And there was this big black mamba, one of the most poisonous snakes in the world, climbing up the wall. I didn't know they could go up a wall. They can. Going up the wall. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. "Brother Godfrey, aren't you afraid if you tell these stories that you'll scare me?" Look, I'm just telling you, if God's in sending you, God can take care of you. Amen. I went off the next day to preach, and Robert, our youngest son, went out to the outhouse. Y'all know what that is, too. I know where I'm at. Robert went out to the outhouse. He started yelling. It was just a thatch, little round building, he looked up, and a big green snake right over the center of the thing. I mean, that's the way we live. There wasn't a doctor for hundreds of miles. And I've literally, now I know y'all won't believe this, if anybody would ever fuss at me. But I've had a lot of people kind of told me often, "How dare you take your wife and your kids out in a place like that where there is no doctor and where all these hippopotamus and crocodiles in the river and stuff. How could you do that?" Look, we turned ourselves over to God before we ever went to Africa. And we take it seriously that God said, I'm going to go with you, and no one can hurt you if you're doing what I want you to do. Dr. Don Sisk went with me back in the day. I wish I had time to tell the story of how that workout there got started back in the 20s in the Congo. But Dr. Sisk went with me one year back in 1990, I think it was. Dr. Sisk and Brother Ron Bragg at that time, who was our Africa director, and some other. There was a preacher on that trip who had never been out of Georgia in his life till that trip. And we're going out. We're going out up where we lived, and it's like the only way you can get around is these big old trucks left over from World War II, troop carriers. And it's set about this high off the ground, and we had barrels of fuel, trunks on top of the barrels, suitcases on top of that, and then we're sitting on top of that. And we're going up and down those mountains, and it's just, so we got out there, and I won't tell you the whole story. The truck wasn't running well, and it was slow. So we're going up this mountain in the night, and all of a sudden the engine on the truck stopped running. And the driver is in a panic trying to get it going. And then if he finally got it cranked again, and he let the clutch out. Does anybody, you young people, y'all know what a clutch is? Okay. He lets the clutch out, and you got all these barrels of fuel sitting on a metal truck bed. Everything on that truck, we were going up a mountain, it went back a foot or more. Every rope broke. Stuff went, suitcases, trunks, people. Now, it wasn't funny then. It's kind of funny now, but I look back, and my first thought is, I've just killed my director because I can't find Dr. Sisk anywhere. I mean, he's down there. Happily, it's sandy ground, and he's down there. Well, now we're all off looking at that truck thing. We're not going to get back on it until we hit a level spot. So we get out, and we're walking, and it's like 95 degrees, 100% humidity, walking behind the truck, lugging our suitcases and our trunks, following the truck, got up on top of the mountain. It's midnight probably. Drive into this village, and just like that, we're surrounded by bandits with machine guns and clubs and machetes. And Dr. Sis said to me to interpret for me, and I started talking to the head bandit. And he said, tell him to shut his mouth, I'll blow his brains out. Dr. Sis said that he felt strangely led to comply. Now you say, Brother Guy, you're telling all these stories. Listen, why I'm telling you the stories. We didn't die that night, did we? Dr. Sisk is 87 years old, still preaches about every day. I wasn't that old, but I still preach a lot. I'm just trying to illustrate to you tonight, can you serve God without letting fear ruin your life? And I'm saying, yes, you can. Because he's with you, and he's going to take care of you. And then let me give you my last point. God said, you can do it, for I have much people in this city. Now, this is what I call, and I love this part. This is what I call, you got God's presence and you got God's protection. This is what I call God's potential. See, when you go where God wants you to go, you missionaries who are here, some of you have been missionaries and you know what I'm talking about. When you do what God wants you to do, you're going to go to some place in the world and you're going to do, here's what I call it, you're going to change your world. Because you're going to go down there and people have never heard of Christ are going to hear and they're going to get saved. And you go to start a church. One of our missionaries in the DR, he started his church many years ago. He's been there forever. But, you know, he couldn't get older people to listen to him. Adults didn't have time for him. He started his church way back there with a bunch of little kids in a poor place. But, you know, those kids got saved. You know what happened? They're not kids anymore. And now his church is full of leaders and pastors and people have gone to their not only church but the Bible college. Because they went where God told them to go. And there's so many examples I could give you of that. Some of them you've seen here. You got the Abbots, Butch Abbott and his family. They went to France. And France is a hard place. Before they changed their world. Russell Turner. Has anyone ever heard the name? Some of you may have here. Russell Turner. Russell Turner was a pig farmer down in Greenville, South Carolina. Had a hog farm right across the road from Tabernacle Baptist Church. Now, if you wonder why I am like I am, I blame it on Dr. Seitler and Oliver Green and Billy Kelly and Bobby Grubbs, because that's where we grew up. We went to the Greer camp meeting on our honeymoon. Now, some of you won't get that. Some of you will, okay? But Russell Turner was a pig farmer, and his hog farm was right across the road from Tabernacle. And God called them to go down into the Caribbean Islands. And back in that day, missionaries hardly raised any support at all. But they were going to, here's what they were going to do. They had it figured out. We're going to sell our hog farm, and then we'll take that money and we'll go to the mission field and serve the Lord. But nobody wanted to buy their pig farm. And one day Russell Turner looked at his wife, Bobby, they called her. I don't know what her name even is. Bobby's all I've ever heard. He said, Bobby, go get the deed for this farm. And she went and got it and came in there, and he sat down and he signed that deed. And they walked across the road and gave that deed to Dr. Harold Seiler in Tabernacle Baptist Church. How many of you have been down there? A lot of you probably. Do you know right across the road from Tabernacle is the Tabernacle Children's Home? Did you know that was Russell Turner's pig farm? And he said, I don't know, it won't sell. I don't know what you're doing. But they gave it to God. And they went down to a little place in the Cayman Islands, a little tiny island called Cayman Brac, and witnessed everybody down there and every island around it. And I mean, he was a soul winner. Well, last year, Russell Turner went to heaven. And there was a big sailor down there. He owned several ships and delivered goods between those islands, and big old rough hands. And every time Russell Turner would see this man, his name was Raymond, he said, Raymond, you get saved yet? Raymond, you better trust Christ. But he never did. And last year, Brother Turner went to heaven. And that morning, he just had died. His body was there and still in the bed. This rough sailor, Raymond, showed up. And he knocked on the door and he said, Miss Turner, I need to see Pastor Turner. I'd just like to shake his hand one more time. And she said, Raymond, the only way that you'll ever see Pastor Turner again is if you shake his hand again, is if you shake it in heaven, because he just went to glory. And that morning, with her husband dead in the bed, she led that big rough sailor in her house and told him again about Jesus, and he got saved. And I want to tell you, you go down to Cayman Brac and all those islands around there today, everybody down there knows the name of Russell Turner. Most people never heard of Cayman Brac, but they know Brother Turner. Why? Because he went where God told him to go. He did what God told him to do. Let me conclude with this. Folks, here's what I'm saying to you tonight and will on Sunday. We must believe that this gospel works. It is the power of God to salvation. It's God's dynamite. You know what that means? That means God can save a Muslim. It means God can save a Jewish person. It means God can save a Catholic. It means God can save an animist, a Buddhist, a Hindu. God can save modern-day Americans. I don't know how in the world he's going. I'm only joking. How many believe God can save a liberal? Yeah, see, we've got to get over this thing of thinking that the gospel won't get it done. It's God's power, folk. And Paul went where God told him to go, and God said, Paul, don't be afraid. Speak up, because I'm with you, and I'm going to protect you. And if you stay here where I put you, you're going to see things happen for me. Dear Lord, I pray tonight that you'd help us all to surrender our fears. Lord, it's so easy, especially this year. So many things, unknowns, and we don't know we're going to keep our job, and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if the kids can go to school. We don't know if we're going to get sick. All these things can so easily discourage us and bring fear into our lives. And I pray, Lord, for this pastor and this sweet church, I pray that you would help them to refocus on who you are and on your promises. And the Lord, that you're with us, and that you're going to use us, and we'll get the gospel out. And we pray that you'll do a mighty work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? Pastors here, I don't know what God's done in your heart tonight, but if God's speaking to your heart and saying, I want you to be a missionary, hey, just say, Lord, I'd rather be a missionary than anything I can think about. If God's speaking to your heart about your giving or your praying, whatever it is, you just do what God wants you to do, preacher.
Amen. As they begin to play, you had to see through the stories because they let some light in on the truth. And the truth is, folks, that all of us have been afraid of a lot of stuff. He hit it, the nail right on the head at the end. Here we are thinking that good missionaries, they can go down there where folks don't know any better. Maybe they don't know anything about the gospel and it'll reach them, but it'll reach those people around here that are so liberal in their thinking, they're even God deniers. And didn't you see that tonight while he was preaching? Those fears that you and I have, those apprehensions about telling anybody about Christ. We've already made up our mind that many people aren't going to get saved. We've already concluded that it's impossible. But I trust that the Lord's done a work in your heart like he's done in my heart and showed all of us where God leads you. He'll work. Would you come and join these at the altar and you say, I want to confess to God, I've been concerned, I've been worried, I've been thinking that it's too far gone, they're too wicked, or they're too modern, or they're too liberal, or they're too whatever it is. Spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I'm with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city. Couldn't we claim that verse tonight? Couldn't we claim that to say, Lord's with us too? Not just with the Praters and not just with the Morrises and Brother Ninan, but with us where we are. You don't have to raise your hand, but I know everybody in this room, if we were honest, where verse 9 says, be not afraid. We've been afraid. You've been afraid. You've held back. We've used the excuse that, well, I can't say that at work because it's not right. Well, I understand there's some protocol there you got to follow. But you've got to admit with me that a lot of times we've just used that as an excuse. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I'm with thee. What a blessed, blessed message tonight. Lord, thank you, and please continue to bless it to our hearts. I pray as we walk over to the Family Life Center, Lord, for just a little while. I pray as we go to our homes and then we get ready for Sunday, day after tomorrow. Lord, I pray that you'd continue to do a work in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that we'd get the boldness that you want us to have to speak up for you. Lord, we expect our missionaries to, and I think they should. But Lord, be hypocritical if we expect them to, and then we don't. Oh, bless us, dear Lord, I pray. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for the great message tonight. Thank you for hearing from Brother Prater as well. Thank you for just the time you've given us. Lord, bless our fellowship over in the Family Life Center. Bless the snacks that we'll have, Lord. And Lord, may we just give all that we have to thee. Let you have all of us so that you can lead us and give us that boldness and the ability to step out. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. May look this